Welcome to Bloomberg Law for this Wednesday, April 6th. I'm June Grosso with Michael Best. Brokers managing retirement accounts are facing tough new rules, forcing them to put their customers' interests ahead of their own. How long before lawsuits are filed challenging the rules? The rules are changing for brokers who invest some $12 trillion for Americans saving for retirement. They'll have to put their clients first under tough new fiduciary standards from the Obama administration designed to level the playing field for investors. Secretary of Labor Thomas Perez said on Bloomberg TV today that the rules will save money for ordinary investors.
This affects millions of Americans. I mean, the impact of conflicted advice conservatively is estimated at about $17 billion a year.
Financial industry groups dispute the Labor Department's calculations and have indicated they'll continue fighting the rules both in federal court and in Congress.
With us today to talk about the new rules are Andrew Stultman, founding partner at Stultman Law Offices, and Anthony Sabino, an attorney at Sabino & Sabino Law Firm. Andrew and Anthony, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Anytime. Thank you.
My pleasure to be on with you and Andrew as well.
Anthony, let's start by talking about what these rules actually do. What do they say?
Well, what they do is impose a higher obligation upon brokers known as the fiduciary duty rule. And in plain English, what that means, Michael, is that brokers must always put the interests of the clients first, that they have to put their interests on the back burner and do their utmost to serve the needs of the clients. But I think the question for the day, and hence the very vigorous opposition from the industry, is how much this new rule really differs from the existing rules that have applied to stockbrokers for about 70 years across the land. And we have various names for those rules: suitability, know your customer. So while this is an incremental change, and again, I'm first to admit it's a positive one, the bottom line is, overall, it really does not change the landscape of what brokers have to do. What it does is move them in terms of status from merely being order takers, ostensibly, of client instructions, to really being advisors, and hence opening it up to more liability. And more liability means increased compliance costs and so forth. And once again, this is why if the lawsuits weren't filed this afternoon, they're going to be filed first thing tomorrow, because the industry has robustly opposed this for a long time, and you can bank on them continuing to do so.
Andrew, some companies such as LPL Financial Holdings and Prime America that manage money for individual investors said the final rule wasn't as aggressive as expected. Others, as Anthony just mentioned, are ready to sue. Where do you stand?
June, I actually think the rule is nowhere near as bad from a brokerage firm perspective as what it could have been. I mean, there are numerous carve-outs in this rule that a lot of us simply didn't expect. For example, the DOL has said now that it's okay for a broker to recommend proprietary products or to recommend high-fee variable annuities and equity index annuities. And if you look at fiduciary law, no fiduciary, at least with respect to registered investment advisors and other financial professionals who are indeed fiduciaries as a matter of law, none of those guys could recommend those sorts of products. But the DOL has specifically carved those products out. That's unfortunate, in my opinion, but I think part of the reason why they did that is to kind of make themselves bulletproof from the challenges that Anthony talked about, because there will be court challenges. And I think by catering to the securities industry on some of these issues, it becomes much harder to get this rule overturned. And that, of course, is a good thing.
Well, Anthony, if in fact, as both of you seem to be saying, the rule isn't as aggressive as it could have been, didn't really change all that much, then why is it that the industry is so worked up still that they're probably going to sue?
I think one of the reasons is, or I should say the primary reason without a doubt, is the fact that this will bring about more lawsuits, or better said, in the securities context, arbitrations with the self-regulatory bodies like FINRA. The fact that it's going to cost increased dollars for compliance, liability insurance, and so on. And also, not that principle is all that important in the cold, hard world of business, but still I think the industry is taking a principled approach in that, look, we've had this model of stockbroker regulation since 1934 when the SEC came on the scene. And we want to keep it that way. And while we don't mind incremental improvements, we don't want the DOL putting their nose in. And that, by the way, implicates, I think, one of the key legal arguments that's going to be raised in the court challenges, in that this is a rule promulgated by the Department of Labor. Now, certainly, I agree with the fact that this comes under their bailiwick of their individual Bureau of Employee Benefits, because 401ks and IRAs, those accounts that are most effective, do fall within that category. But I think the elephant in the room is the fact that basically this regulation goes to regulating the behavior of securities industry professionals. And who has regulated them for some 70 years? The Securities and Exchange Commission. Indeed, there's no mistake about this. The Obama administration pushed very hard for Secretary Perez at DOL to push this through, because the SEC has been fighting tooth and nail with the industry, the securities industry, for about 5 years now to try to get it done under the auspices of the SEC. So that's going to be part of that's going to be another element there. As far as should this rule have come out of SEC or DOL, and I think that gives a lot of traction to the legal opposition.
We're talking about the tough new rules brokers managing retirement accounts are facing, forcing them to put their customers' interests ahead of their own. It's just a matter of time before we'll see the lawsuits filed challenging the rules. We've been talking with Andrew Stoltman, the founding partner of Stoltman Law Offices, and Anthony Sabino, founding partner of Sabino & Sabino and a professor at St. John's University. Andrew, brokerages, mutual funds, and insurers have been fighting the plan for more than 5 years. What kind of compliance issues will the securities industry now face with these rules?
Well, I think there will be heightened duties and heightened responsibilities. I don't think it's going to be as great as what many brokerage firms have said. Many brokerage firms have complained that, gee, this rule is going to be so burdensome, it's going to cost us so much money. But then yet in conversations with Wall Street analysts, they say, but we don't expect it to have a material impact on our bottom line. So I think there has been a lot of smoke and mirrors and comments that weren't completely truthful about the cost of implementing this fiduciary duty. Will there be changes? Absolutely. Will some investments be prohibited? By all means. But I don't think it's going to have the sort of cost or impact that many of us believed.
Anthony, isn't the impact, though, that brokers and investment advisors are not going to be able to recommend investments on which they would get a commission from the fee now?
To some extent, yes. And I think that's one of the problems, in that now they're going to be much more restricted in the options that they can offer, or at the very least there's going to be heightened disclosure, because they will have to be very meticulous in saying to a client, look, I think you should be in investment A, which is better for you, but I get a 5% commission, whereas if you are investment B, which I don't think is good for you, I'm going to get a 3% commission. So we have to see how that actually all shakes out. I think one of the possible negative effects is that various securities firms, because of the increased compliance costs, and again, it may not be massive, but it may just be enough to push them out of servicing smaller accounts where the margins are already so thin, it's simply not worth it for them. And by the way, if I may pick up on something that Andrew said, and I agree completely, the industry has made a lot of noise about how much this is going to cost, and they probably have, in all truthfulness, overestimated the increased cost here. But I think, in fairness, on the other side, I think some of the numbers that I've heard thrown out by the Department of Labor as to how much money this is going to save the average investor, I'm not sure if that's as valid as well. I think they're kind of overestimating it. So basically, I think the battle here, and again, this is going to take place in the courtroom, is that the administration, on one hand, is overestimating the savings. The industry, securities industry, is overestimating the expenses. But the bottom line is both of those overestimates cast doubt upon the efficacy of the new rule.
Andrew, do you agree with what Anthony said about the White House's estimates of how much this is going to save retirees annually? Andrew?
Yes. Are you still there? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, June. Yeah, I don't think there's any question that there will be a significant savings. And don't forget how this rule came into effect. Remember, this followed the 2008-2009 market crash, when kind of the parade of horribles that Wall Street engaged in were fully exposed to the American public. So there's a really good reason for this rule. Now, you can debate whether it's 1% or $17 billion, or whether it's higher or lower in terms of the cost, but this rule is needed because Wall Street has shown repeatedly that it cannot police itself. So net-net, I think this rule is a good thing.
Well, Anthony, let's say you're calling about your 401k, and you're talking to the person at the company who's, you know, about where you should put the money, which funds to put it in, et cetera. What is actually going to be different in your interactions?
Well, they are. It's mainly going to be from their end, Michael, in the sense that they are going to have to make much more disclosure in terms of what they're saying to people, and being very meticulous in documenting the fact that we offered you what is absolutely best for you. But you see, the thing is this, and I'm glad you asked when I call, because one of the things I think is being overlooked here is the following. When you're talking about someone who's relatively unsophisticated in investments, they rely very heavily upon their brokers, who actually now, with this heightening of standards, they really become investment advisors as opposed to straightforward brokers, because brokers basically are clerks who take an order. An advisor gives you advice, and hence the higher fiduciary standard. So someone who's unsophisticated is going to call the same investment professional, and they're going to get the benefit of this heightened compliance. However, someone like myself, and also Andrew, by the way, because as I'm sure you know, he's one of the best investor side attorneys in America, which is why I'm glad to call him my friend. The bottom line is folks like Andrew and I, we're a little more sophisticated. So companies are going to incur increased compliance costs across the board. And basically, sophisticated investors like Andrew and I and you, we're going to pay more for a level of compliance that we really don't need because we make our own self-directed investments. And I think that's a little bit of the unfair element that's at play here.
All right. First, a disclaimer. We did not know you were such good friends when we asked you on the show today.
That's correct.
But, Andrew, could the rules, if they stay in place, lead to more sweeping changes across the financial services industry? In other words, if it's harder for smaller firms to do business, perhaps it'd be more consolidation into larger companies that could handle the compliance better?
That's a distinct possibility, but I just don't think that the smaller firms are going to have problems servicing these accounts. I don't think smaller investors will get less access to professional advice. Remember, right now, in some states, brokers are already fiduciaries. For example, in the state of California, as a matter of state law, brokers are fiduciaries to their clients, and small investors get service there to the same extent as, let's say, $500,000. Investors. So are changes likely to come of this? Yes, but I don't think they're going to be the cataclysmic, seismic shifts that a lot of people think are going to come.
Well, Anthony, you do have a change in duty here as a legal matter.
Correct.
So how is that going to be enforced? Let's say brokers don't comply with it. What's going to happen?
Right. Well, basically, those brokers are going to be sued. And again, I'm going to assume that most IRAs and 401ks are subject to the mandatory arbitration provisions that almost all securities firms impose. So you're going to see a lot more activity in that forum. But you see, that's one of the points. Because, again, this is a rule promulgated by the Department of Labor. The securities industry is already heavily regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. And a good part of that duty coexists with that of the self-regulatory organization, FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, that I think we can all agree does a pretty darn good job. Not perfect, but a pretty good darn good job. And they already impose upon all brokers, not just investment advisors, rules of know your customer. In other words, you better know the customer pretty well before you sell them investment A as opposed to B. That you have to decide what's suitable for the customer, again, A versus B. And therefore, it becomes an argument, I think, of how many masters do you serve? And I think that we have yet to hear from the SEC on this, but certainly the chair, Mary Jo White, who's a pretty tough ex-prosecutor herself, I can't imagine she's very pleased with what I have to say is a usurpation of the SEC's longstanding authority in these matters. And I think that alone is going to cause some confusion and hence increased compliance costs, because now securities professionals say, who do I answer to? DOL, SEC, FINRA? And when you muddy the waters like that, I think there's going to be, again, I agree with Andrew, not cataclysmic effects, but still some negative ramifications.
Andrew, less than a minute left. We're expecting lawsuits. What will be the grounds for most of the lawsuits?
Well, I think they're going to come from entities like SIFMA or the Department of Commerce or other entities that represent the business or the brokerage firms. I think they're going to argue that the DOL has not taken into consideration the costs that these rules are going to impose. And I think that's going to be one of the major, major grounds. I really think the Department of Labor did a very good job of bending to the securities industry whims on this issue. And I think the bad news is the rule isn't as strong as I'd like to see it. The good news is I think the DOL has made it much more bulletproof and much more prone to stand up to any judicial challenges.
We want to thank both of you for being on Bloomberg Law today. That's Andrew Stoltman, founding partner of Stoltman Law Offices, and Anthony Sabino, founding partner of Sabino and Sabino and a professor at St. John's University. Now let's take a look at the top story on BloombergLaw.com.
Halliburton was sued by U.S. antitrust officials who say its planned takeover of rival oil services firm Baker Hughes threatens competition and should be blocked. The lawsuit extends the Justice Department's aggressive record in challenging mergers combining big players in industries as varied as beer, air travel, and mobile phone service.
That's it for this edition of Bloomberg Law. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to our technical director, Mark Siniscalchi, and our producer, David Sutcherman. Attorneys, you can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. With all due respect, up next for our Washington, D.C. audience, Bloomberg Best, next for our listeners in New York, Boston, and San Francisco, right here on Bloomberg Radio.